Initiate countdown. Execute.
Do not touch your dial. We are in charge of this transmission. Squad. Brute Squad. Only on Jackalope Radio.
Greetings, salutations, and welcome to the Brute Squad, your one-stop shop for music, movies, and comic news. And as always, my sidekick, partner in crime, Dudley Do Right, Dudley Don't Right.
I almost went in there. Todd. Hey, you know, I almost went in there and was like, "Stop reading the comics, put down the toys. Here's Johnny."
Nice.
That would have been nice.
Very nice. But are we talking Carson or are we talking a little bit of Stephen King?
We're talking both.
Nice. A good old blend.
That's right. Always have to have a blend. Pop culture.
What's better?
That's right. That's where it's at.
Well, tell you the truth, one thing about it, this is that time of year where everything seems to be wrapping up as far as everyone's favorite TV shows.
I know. It's a bummer.
I know. It's like, I got to say, it's a lot different than it used to be, though, because especially with like TNT and USA Network, they have a lot of summer shows starting, which they never used to have in the old days. It used to be, hey, summer's here, reruns. So it's a lot better now. I think the biggest thing this week, especially if you want to go to the whole comic geekdom, is Smallville finally ended for good.
I didn't get to watch it.
Did you not?
But at the same time, I didn't know if I wanted to. You know, I was so mad at him. They made me so mad. And I saw pictures of the wedding, and I was like, ah, he's not supposed to be marrying Lois. He shouldn't even know Lois. He's still in Smallville.
Well, technically, the last season, he was Metropolis.
Oh, well, all right.
But still, yeah, they took a lot of liberties.
Yeah.
I mean, Green Arrow married Chloe. Not Black Canary, Chloe, who up until, what, 2 months ago, never even was a character in the comics.
Right.
They just basically added her because of Smallville.
It's a pain in the butt.
I got to say, part of the show was really good. There's parts of it that was great. They brought Michael Rosenberg back for playing Lex. John Glover as Lionel Luther came back. John Schneider came back to play, you know, good old Papa Kent.
Right.
You even had what I would like to say, General Zod, but Jor-El came back, and it was really good. You got to see, you know, Chloe, you know, Allison Mack, a lot of the great old characters came back for this final episode. The problem I had is just it really fell short, especially when you're going into an episode that's going to be 2 hours long, and you've had episodes in the past with Geoff Johns writing where you've had Hawkeye. No, not Hawkeye, but Hawkman. You've had Green Arrow. You've had Martian Manhunter, Zatanna, Aquaman, Mira, I mean, you know, Impulse, for lack of a better term. They've called him, you know, Bart Impulse. But it's like you've had these great episodes, Legion of Superheroes. And all they really brought back in this one was Green Arrow. And for a very short scene, was he even in costume? They had, this is supposed to be the big battle with Darkseid. You got Granny Goodness, you got Steppenwolf, you got Godfrey, and they're all corrupted. And then you have Green Arrow taking them out with an arrow. First of all, these are supposedly human bodies that are possessed by the essence of these characters. And he takes them out with an arrow, and poof, they explode into smoke. And I'm like, I don't know of any new gods exploding to smoke with an arrow. Kind of seemed very odd to me. It was a very... And then you finally get the big bad of Darkseid. You keep seeing these glimpses of Darkseid all season long. The big red eyes, and he's looking really dark and menacing. And then the season finale, he possesses Lionel Luthor. So he's just... Lionel is Darkseid.
That's lame.
Yeah, it's like, what, did you skip some production cost? Didn't get that mac and cheese commercial to get put in there? You know, I was very disappointed because I wanted to see a big throwdown, you know, with Darkseid. Does it happen? No. Do we really see a big blowout? All we see is Clark getting hit by Lionel, and halfway through, they have this whole little scene where, you know, Jor-El tells him what he needs to do, and Jonathan kind of in his... It was really weird. It was kind of like a mind trip that he's kind of talking to these people as he's flying through the air. And the next thing you know, he stops, and he's flying. Which they always promised us that, hey, Clark was going to finally fly by the end of the season.
Yeah, right in the last episode.
But it's the last episode. He's in his street clothes, and all he does basically is turn himself around and flies into Darkseid. Destroys Darkseid, and then goes to the Fortress of Solitude. I'm like, one hit? Really? A two-hour phenomenon, season finale, and you're going to have one hit and he's done. And I'm like, I thought it was very, very lame in that aspect.
Well, you know what?
I mean, great effects to see him fly, but it was like, really? And really, the most disappointing part was finally you get the costume. They have this scene where Jonathan Kent, I guess the ghost of Jonathan Kent, however you want to say it, hands him the suit that, you know, Jor-El has at the fortress. I'm still trying to figure out at what point does the costume that Martha Kent sewed for him and left for him two seasons ago wound up in a big, huge crystal chamber in the fortress. Yeah, it's one of those, I don't think they really quite read their own old scripts. But the thing that was disappointed is that he finally goes to take Apocalypse, you know, the planet. Because the whole point of the story is Apocalypse is coming down and it's going to crash into Earth. And everything's going to be destroyed. So they have this little scene where he's flying up. And as he's flying, his suit turns into the costume like he's putting it on. But it's all CGI. So when he pushes the planet away, it's a CGI where it's from the back. So you don't even get to see Tom Welling in the costume. So they
You've
have
got to be kidding.
No, I'm not kidding. And then they have a scene where Lois, who just so happens to be on Air Force One, interviewing the president, looks out the window, and Tom Welling kind of flies over and looks in. But when he flies over, all they do is show his face in the window. You don't get to see the costume. And I'm like, okay, whatever, you know. We still got a few minutes. Maybe we're going to get something else out of this. But no. They wind up jumping and having 7 years later. Chloe's reading the book to her son, who I guess is the son of her and Green Arrow. I mean, I was waiting for them to start calling him Speedy. Let's go ahead and just mess everything up. And then it actually goes to Lois and Clark at the Daily Planet. Lois is this great reporter 7 years later. Everybody's got respect for her. They bring in Jimmy Olsen finally, which I thought was great. And Clark bumps into Lois, and she's like, are you ready? And here he is with the wedding rings. They're getting married on that day. And I'm like, okay, they waited 7 years to get married, which I didn't think was right. I'm like, they were just getting married. You know, that was the whole season finale. Mm-hmm. And then she's all of a sudden, you know, you have Perry White screaming, you know, great Caesar's ghost as Perry. We look great. Had the whole voice of... Oh, just slipped my mind.
You got me. I wasn't watching it. I stayed far
Lenny
away.
Lenny from Happy Days. You know, Spinal Tap.
Michael McKean.
Michael McKean was playing. They got him back to play Perry White, which I think was great. And he runs to the roof. And you hear the great theme from Superman. Dun-da-dun-da-dun. Dun-da-dun-da-dun. And then he opens his shirt. There's the S. He starts to run, and it fades to black. And then they start running the credits, kind of like the old Superman where it came down and it had the whole hieroglyphics, you know, behind it, 3D dimensional. And they're playing the original Superman theme, which, number one, it was cool, but they always wanted to separate themselves from that. But now it seemed like they wanted to type kind of blend it into Richard Donner's Superman.
They had to do something because they sucked.
Well, I mean, yeah, and I'm telling you, I mean, guys, you know, I've been checking message boards out, reading a lot of different articles, and I mean, the general consensus, you're going to watch a show for 10 years, and you can't give a Superman standing there in the suit with his cape blowing in the wind. I mean, that's what everybody wanted. They want to see Tom Welling in the suit. They don't want to see a CGI Superman. They don't want to see a little red t-shirt as he opens up his shirt. As cool as the music and the whole feel was, the end result is, you know, I felt cheated. I invested 10 years on this, and you can't even give me Tom Welling in a costume. I'm like, I just don't understand it.
It's crap.
Yeah, I mean, really, it's kind of like, you know, Smallville overall is, you know, it's a great show. I've liked it for 10 years. I've watched it. I've followed it. And it's one of those things I hate when they don't pay off. You know, it's like, and you get that a lot with shows nowadays because, you know, networks, I mean, let's get real. Networks suck. I mean, they don't want to really try any really shows. The minute the ratings fall, or if they don't just come out of the gate, like the next, you know, Lost, they get canceled. I mean, I was online yesterday and I was downloading every show that was canceled this season. I could not believe the amount of shows that are getting canceled.
It's no talent, man. It's just a bunch of crap. Do you know that they're once again talking about canceling Chuck? How many years? Every single season they say, we're going to cancel Chuck. Now, here's the thing.
Well, they moved it.
Well, every season they keep trying to cancel. Then mm-hmm. they go to Comic-Con. Thousands of people write in and say, are you out of your mind? We love this show. Subway even stepped in and said, okay, you come in, you sign our petition to save Chuck. We'll give you a free sandwich.
Right.
That's how many people love this show.
Oh, granted.
So why the hell do you keep – if that many people have shown an outpouring of interest and love for a show, why would you keep threatening to can it every year? It's stupid.
Well, you know what they did to it the next year? They moved it to Fridays.
Oh, did they? I heard that they were going to cancel it.
Nope. They haven't canceled. They moved it to Fridays, which is a step away from canceling, as we all know.
Well, I'm fine with that. You know, most of us will watch it one way or the other. We've got DVRs, you know.
Oh, granted. I think that's a lot of the problems, you know. I think that a lot of these networks are still trying to go by Nielsen ratings instead of actually, you know, DVRs. And, you know, how many DVD sets are you selling? You know Chuck's selling left and right every time comes out.
Yeah, it sells. For sure.
I mean, the season finale, there's a good one. Did you watch the season finale of Chuck this week?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What do you think?
I cannot wait. This is like opening a whole new dimension for those characters.
I got to tell you, I was disappointed in the episode itself.
I wasn't.
Well, the one thing I was disappointed in, I got to tell you, was, I mean, really, his fiance, who is a CIA agent, correct?
Right.
Is dying in the hospital from a poison. Would the leader of whoever's in charge of the CIA really have an entire SWAT team out there saying, no, you can't give her the antidote? I mean, I liked where they were going. I like where it ended at the final. I think the whole point of they have the money, they can do their own group now. Casey is now a part of their group. You know, they can do whatever they want is great. I don't think it was a real smooth transition to get there.
I love it, man.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I love the show. I've been watching it from day one. But don't you think that the CIA would not be stopping an agent from giving the antidote to save another agent's life?
I don't know about that because the CIA are screwed up.
Well, the government screwed up. But
exactly my point. You know, who knows?
I just thought that was a little far fetched. What do you think of Grimes, though?
I love Grimes.
But him being the Intersect,
I love it. I'm going to love it because it adds another dimension. And you know, it's going to be cool to be able to see him kind of step into his own. I've always loved the character, and I've always felt like they had great chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's going to just take that show to a new level that I didn't even foresee at all. I was like, wow, this is going to do it. This is going to rock.
I just want, especially the fact that they bought the Buy More as well. That's sweet. That was great. Because I was like, dude, you can't give up Jester. Jester's is freaking awesome. I love those guys.
Nutty bastards.
Especially when they turned around and they actually had the videos last week for the wedding. And Lester comes up, no one saw my rough cut yet.
And it was awesome.
Yeah, I was like, man, this guy's just over the top. Because you never know what to expect. The minute you think he's going to be crazy, he does something that's like so poetic and elegant.
Oh, I know.
It's great. I got to say, it is one of my favorite shows. I was very disappointed to see it was moved to Fridays. Just because, you know, a lot of times that's what they, you know, that's TV graveyard.
It is, but I think it'll be okay.
I'm hoping so. I really do, because they moved Smallville and Supernatural to Fridays, and they're still doing well.
I got a feeling it'll be good.
Well, there's a new show that WB has coming out, too, with Sarah Michelle Gellar. And it's supposed to be a very dark mystery, and they haven't actually said when it's going to be aired yet and what the date is, at least that I have found. But I'm having a feeling that that's going to be kind of paired up with Supernatural to give us kind of a Supernatural vibe.
Didn't even think of that.
So, and I can't remember the name of it for the life of me. But basically, she plays a twin sister, and I guess one of them gets killed. Huh. And she takes the part of the one that gets killed to try to track down her sister's killer.
Gotcha.
So, it looks pretty good. I mean, you know, she did good in Buffy. I mean, that lasted for, what, 8-9 seasons?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, 7 seasons was Buffy.
Long time.
Yeah. So, you know, WB gets to get her back. Let's see what happens with it. But, yeah, Chuck, though. Great show.
Yeah, I can't fault him ever.
You know what's funny? You know the one that plays Chuck's sister?
Yeah.
I always thought she'd have been the perfect Wonder Woman.
Oh, she was good. Yeah, she looks good.
I mean, she's a great actress. The only thing I wish they never would have done with Chuck was kill off his dad. I love Scott Bakula as his dad.
I do too,
he
but
was
you know what?
So great.
I got a feeling that there's more to that than meets the eye.
I hope that he faked his death and he comes back. That'd be so great.
I've been feeling like he's going to be coming back all season, so I'm feeling like something weird's going to happen.
But how great is the testimony of that show that they got Timothy Dalton to be a reoccurring character?
Oh, I know.
And then you get, you know, Linda Hamilton to come as a reoccurring character. I mean, you got two top-notch actors. I mean, when they showed her in prison and she's doing the chin-ups on the bed, and I'm like, oh, great.
How's that for an in-joke?
Yeah. Oh, yes. I was like, that's what I like about it. They put little things in for the fans.
Well, they always have. That's the great thing about that show.
Oh, it's awesome.
It's just a gorgeous show. I cannot wait. I'm stoked. I'm glad they didn't try to cancel it again.
Well, as long as you know, I'm just hoping it doesn't get like 10 episodes in and they're...
Well, you know what? They need to get there. That's the problem with that network in particular. Everything that's decent, they always end up cutting it. And a lot of the shows they've cut, no one understands why, because there's a lot of people out there that absolutely love these shows.
To me, they are the third worst network.
I don't know. I think they're kind of above everybody else.
No, Fox. Yeah. I'm sorry. Fox canceled Firefly.
Yeah, but they also allow other shows to live way past their prime.
Well, let's talk about Fox, though. They canceled Firefly. They canceled Dollhouse. And then what did they do this year?
Added some more minority programming.
Well, of course. But no, they can't. Just got the word. They canceled another one of my favorite shows based on a comic book, Human Target.
Wow.
I loved Human Target. I mean, I always say, you know, you got Kelly from Bad News Bears, you know, Hurley, great actor. You know, everybody loved him as Rorschach. You know, here's a guy that played Kelly, 30 years ago in the Bad News Bears.
Right.
Who's getting a second chance in his career, comes out and does Rorschach in Watchmen, does a great performance. And now he's playing this little dude that everybody's scared of, an assassin, you know. And then he's with Mark Valley, who's a great actor in his own right.
Right.
You know, and this is a great show. Everybody's liking it. The ratings aren't bad. They're not great, but they're not bad.
Right.
But the problem is these networks are like, the ratings are falling. We got to find something else. The ratings are falling. We got to find something else. You know, here's a clue. What is one of the top rated shows right now? Big Bang. Big Bang was not that great of a show when it first aired.
I know.
First season
Big
wasn't.
Bang Theory, yep.
But people started watching it. People started talking about it. The problem is they're cutting these shows now before they even get a chance to really get rolling. And a lot of people want to wait to see if a show even lasts a year before they get vested.
Right.
Because they're setting a precedence that the ratings aren't good, we're going to cut it. Ratings aren't good, we're going to cut it. Well, you know, sometimes these shows really need to kind of blossom. You need a little bit for them to actually get going. And it seems like they're so scared of investing in it. But yet every year, how much money are they dumping into these shows to cancel them?
Oh, I know.
You know, when I saw Human Target was canceled, here's another one. This is my second, number two worst network of all time. Yes, folks, I keep track of this stuff. I know it's crazy, but Fox, I don't care what Fox ever does. The fact that they canceled, you know, Firefly, they will always, you know, be the number one devil in my book. Number two, Sci-Fi Channel. I mean, really, we have a network that is a pay channel. You know, it's part of your cable package. If you don't have cable, you're not getting it. So whether you, I mean, let's get real, you're paying for it. And it's called, what is it called? Sci-Fi Channel.
Exactly.
And what do I get to watch on it anymore? Wrestling.
There you go. Crap.
I'm like, give me a break. What does wrestling have to do with sci-fi, except they're both fake?
I've been saying that for years.
But I'm like, and then they added SmackDown. They had like this, you know, ECW. Now they've added SmackDown to it. And I'm like, okay, I get the paranormal. We love the Ghost Hunters on there. You know, I like the sci-fi shows. But it's like they're canceling left and right. I mean, what the number one rated show they had was Farscape. Beautiful show. Jim Henson Productions. The fourth season comes around. It is the number one rated show on their network. And they cancel it. How is it that you're going to cancel your number one rated show? I mean, they sit there and they say, well, the production costs were getting too expensive. It's your number one rated show. That's like, you know, Marvel Comics saying, our number one rated comic is Spider-Man. We're going to cancel it and kill the character off and not put out another book with him. No, you're
not.
Don't
give him any ideas.
You know, what do they do? No, they're going to put out three or four Spider-Man books.
Well, unless they're DC, and then they're going to kill off their character.
Well, but still, even when you kill off Batman, there's still five different Batman titles out there. I mean, really.
Douches.
But you're going to actually sit there and have your number one rated show canceled. I mean, to me, just, okay, I know. I'm just a guy with a regular job, and I own a comic shop. I mean, nothing special. I just own a comic shop. You know, I do a radio show. But to me, common sense is if you have a number one rated show, maybe you might want to try a miniseries or a movie with some characters. Let's try to make some money off that. No, we're going to cancel it. And then this year, what do they cancel? Stargate Universe. Great show. Everybody likes Stargate. You know, this one is better than any of them in the past. If you get a chance to watch them on DVD, go out and watch them. Because Stargate, the first one, it was good, but it was still kind of your Star Trek-y, you know, sci-fi campy stuff here and there. You know, Stargate Atlantis still was the same motif. But man, Stargate Universe is dark, drama. It was more like the new Battlestar Galactica. You know, you got these crew members stuck on this ship. They can't get off of it. They don't know where they're going. They're plummeting through space. Every so many, you know, millions of light years, it stops where they can get supplies. But it's the drama. You know, you never know what's going on. You have the captain and the main scientist always fighting each other. You know, you never know. And it's like such good TV because it's not predictable. And then Sci-Fi Channel cancels it. It's like that's, you don't have Battlestar Galactica anymore. You've canceled Caprica. And you're going to cancel Stargate Universe. But we're going to bring on more wrestling shows. And you know what? We're going to take all the rest of our revenues and we're going to do some more Saturday evening movies. And if anybody watches a Sci-Fi Channel Saturday night movie special, I could probably do better with, you know, the movie on my phone. I mean, they are bad. I mean,
they're worse than bad.
Yeah, I mean, I like B movies, don't get me wrong, you know, but when you're going to like make, let's get like Michael Ironside is going to star on this. And it's like, yeah, great actor. And then you're going to have him fighting tarantulas or this week, you know, the earth stood still. Or it's like, give me a break, guys. These shows are just terrible. And they think that people like, and the CGI, The CGI, I mean, I see better CGI on kids' cartoons. I don't get it. It makes no sense to me.
Nope, none.
But, you know, it's Sci-Fi Channel. What do you do?
I know how what you're talking about. Sci-Fi Channel's been, you know, I once was talking to Jason and Grant about it, and I was like, makes no damn sense, because other than the fact that it's fake, what the hell does this wrestling crap have in common with Mr. Spock? Not a hell of a lot. And the only thing I can say is, you know, there's people on the X-Files, man, you know, they deserve better. I mean, I'm not trying to put down wrestling. That's fine. Put it on its own channel. What the hell's wrong with some of these other huge networks? Spike TV and all that should just play that 24 day, you know?
USA. I mean, even USA has found out their original programming is better than wrestling.
Well, there you go.
But, you know, USA to me is one of my favorite networks anymore. I mean, you got Fairly Legal, you got Burn Notice, which I think is great. I mean, if you're not watching Burn Notice, you need to be watching Burn Notice.
Oh, that's a great flick.
I mean,
show.
Well, they just did the 2-hour movie, the story of Sam Ash. I mean, you got a whole 2-hour movie with Bruce Campbell. Do you really need anything else in life? I mean, number one, if the show is a reoccurring show and Bruce Campbell put his name on it and committed to doing it, you know it's pretty good.
That's true.
But, I mean, they got some really good stuff. I heard Rescue Me got canceled. That's a great high drama show. Not a lot to do with comics, but great show. Canceled. I mean, it's just left and right. V got canceled this year.
Oh, yeah?
Yep. It will not be coming back. NBC, who canceled Heroes because they wanted this new show, The Event. What do? Push it and push it. Every time you opened up a comic for 4 months, you got a big ad of The Event. And then they got rid of it for about 2 or 3 months. And they said, we're going to bring it back and really publicize it. And we're going to revamp it a little bit. And guess what, guys? It still sucks. And what happens? It gets canceled. Here's a show that shouldn't got canceled, really never should have came. I mean, we're talking on the tail of last year. You know, we got Heroes that never even put an ending on it. I mean, really, if you're going to cancel these shows, can you at least give us like a 2-hour wrap-up so we can know what's going on?
Granted.
Flash Forward. How many people invested in Flash Forward? I mean, thousands of viewers on this show canceled it. And it's like, we have no idea how it ends.
I know. They do that a lot. They did that with The Mask, man. They did that with The Mask this year. And I kind of liked The Mask. It started off shaky. It found its foot. I thought it did a pretty good job of getting better. And, you know, you have to let a show kind of find its stride. They don't allow that anymore. But, you know, this is the way of thinking that really is kind of squelching creativity, because it's all about pretty much having a reality show that costs $3.50. You know, that's what it's all about.
Well, as long as we have The Bachelor and The Bachelorette and The Bachelorette's Putts and The Bachelorette's, you know, Baby Boomers. It's like, I got to tell you, that's the worst thing is I hate reality TV. I do. And we get to blame it on MTV for starting it.
I agree.
And I got to tell you, when it first started, the concept like The Real World was, you know, I thought that was kind of a cool show. Let's take a whole bunch of people that don't know each other, throw them in, you know, a big house, and let's videotape it.
I got tired of it quick, though.
I did. I did get tired of it, but the concept was good.
Jerry Springerism had to go.
But now it's like, oh my God, every time I turn on the TV, it's like...
Crack and pickle, buddy.
Oh my God. And I hate it. I hate reality TV. It's just driving me nuts.
I agree.
But, you know, what do you do?
Not much.
But, you know what? I guess we're going to be going to break. And you guys, please stay tuned. Come right back, and we'll get more with the Brute Squad. Pictures only begun. You're under their thumb. Hit it!
Out on the streets for a got it.
You found the most listened to radio station. Jackalope Radio.
Welcome back to the Brute Squad.
The Brute Squad!
Yes.
We're nuts around here.
Slightly.
It's awesome stuff, man.
Demented and sad, but social.
That's right. Socially able to interact with society, kinda.
Kinda. Yeah, kinda.
Unless they piss me off or something.
Well, that's the whole point of our show. We get to rant and rave every week about everything that's pissed us off throughout the week.
Exactly.
This week, Smallville pissed Johnny off.
It did.
This week, the networks canceling Stargate Universe pissed Johnny off.
It did.
And it's just, yeah, God, I got to tell you. We got new comics here, but I'm telling you, I'm just, this network stuff is just getting on my nerves. I mean, there's potentials that you can go out there for Stargate Universe. They're trying, because see, they're still trying to get that to another network.
Right.
You know, I don't understand where it would fit since it didn't fit on sci-fi.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know either.
You know, I think I'm going to start doing that. I'm going to do some research. And I think for next week, what I'm going to do is try to get all the addresses for all these network execs so you guys can write them in and say, hey, stop canceling our show.
You know what? I'm with you. I've already been kind of collecting some of that stuff.
We need to do that.
We do.
And you know what, guys? You know, for those of you that are not aware, yes, Brute Squad is on Facebook. So you know what? Go out there. Go out to Facebook. You know, give me some blogs. Give me some messages. Let me know what you're thinking. Just do a search on Brute Squad Entertainment, and bang, it's going to show up for you. And you know what? If you got some questions you want answered, drop a line in there. And you know what? I'm going to get some of this information, and we'll put it out there on Facebook, and we'll say, hey, contact these guys. Quit canceling our great shows. I mean, think about it. Wonder Woman got canceled. It didn't even make it past the pilot. I mean, it's like the network looked at it and said, yeah, we don't like the costume, and we don't like the direction of it, so yeah, it's going to cost too much money, so we're just going to drop it. And I'm sitting there going, you know what, guys? You're designing a costume that's not the Wonder Woman from the comics. You think you're going to get some backlash on this?
Yeah, but, you know, I heard that it's still a go-ahead.
No, I read today. It is canceled.
Huh, that's kind of ridiculous considering they've already filmed, what'd they say, 13 episodes or something?
No, they only filmed the pilot.
Oh.
They had only done the pilot, and when the network executives watched the pilot and said, no, we don't like it. We're not doing it.
They're idiots. I guarantee you it'll come back. Because David Kelly, he doesn't say no.
Yeah, I'm hoping it goes somewhere else. I mean, I really am.
I was fine with the damn costume. I actually liked it. I'm one of the few people that always thought running around in her underwear sucked.
I will tell you, the first actual pictures they had with the shiny pants and the blue boots, I liked.
I like the red boots better.
Well, I like the red boots, but I got to tell you, the dull jean-looking pants, I wasn't a fan of. Because it looked like she's walking around in blue jeans.
Yeah, but she can't win because if they didn't do that, everyone was complaining about the other ones for being shiny. So then they dulled them up, and then everyone was complaining because they were dull.
I wasn't complaining. I liked the shiny. I didn't mind it either. I was like, hey, shiny top, shiny pants.
I thought she
whatever
was a
color boots.
Great choice too. I thought she was. She can actually act. She was a great.
Oh,
choice.
Oh yeah. You know what? You know where she got her start, right?
Well, there's several different areas, but I know she was last in Legion for genre films.
Actually, for genre TV, she was Sam's fiance who was killed in Supernatural.
Right, right.
And then she went on to what made her the most famous was Friday Night Lights.
Yeah, I know.
Another great show.
I'm glad you like it. It's just not for me, man.
Well, it's not a genre. I mean, it's about, you know.
It's about jarhead people.
It's about.
Eraserhead.
It's about Southern football.
Which is erase her head.
Yeah, I mean, it is. And I mean, for
Godzilla
me.
Godzilla would pick them all upside down and erase papers with her head.
Well, basically, a tornado is just going to come through and, like, clear out the entire area, including, you know.
It's terrifying.
It's terrifying. But I mean, as far as drama, it's got some good actors. It's a good drama show. I mean, Friday Night Lights is a good show. It's just, it's not for everyone. It's really not. Then again, I just watch a lot of TV. That's what happens. I don't sleep a lot. I sleep, you know, 2 or 3 hours a night, and I get up at 3 o'clock in the morning. What do? Let's see what's on the TV.
Just so you know, the darknightrises.com is about to become active, I think, because it is now a registered Warner Brothers site, and when you go to it, it goes to a Warner Brothers server. I think it's getting ready to go live. If you remember, when the Dark Knight website went live, it happened in May.
Mm-hmm.
So it happened in, like, a couple of years before the movie came out. So I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful. I've been seeing some cool stuff out there. They've been shooting in London now.
Right.
They shot the big pit, the Lazarus pit. Got photos
of
that. Yes,
I saw the photos of that. That's looking great.
Well, now they're shooting in London. They got the Gotham Police Department vehicles over there, and they're doing some cool stuff. So I'm thinking it's going pretty strong, and I'm excited.
Well, I'm just hoping, and this is just my little hope, that they bring back Liam Neeson. I really loved him as Ra's al Ghul, and I think he'd be a great character.
They
to bring
can't
back.
Bring him back because Ra's al Ghul's been reborn. The Lazarus Pit. He's going to be young, very young. So they've got a guy that looks like Liam Neeson, but he looks very young.
Really?
Yeah. Remember when he comes back to the Lazarus Pit, it changes. They don't just come back exactly as they were.
Actually, in the comics, he pretty much comes exactly.
Well, I think that's kind of goofy.
They've only had one time that he didn't, and that's when he possessed the body of his bodyguard, the albino.
Well, he's definitely not an old guy now. He's younger.
Wow.
Yeah, and of course, Talia's in there, and it's going to be neat. I don't want to give away too much. I know some things. I'd also like to mention that film producer Michael Uslan,
mm-hmm.
his new book just came out, The Boy Who Loved Batman.
Oh, I'm going to have to pick that up.
Very nice. It's a pretty fascinating story, and it's getting great reviews here. So I think everyone should check that out. It's a true story of how a comic obsessed kid conquered Hollywood. What better to read than that?
Well, yeah, that's the end all, beat all.
I know, it's great. I'm just like, wow, and that's the kind of thing you got to talk about right there.
So what do you think about having Bane in this one? What's your opinion?
Well, as long for as they,
those, let me just straight for all those that don't know. Todd is like the biggest bat geek. I own a comic shop, and he's more into Batman than I am.
I honestly think, and this is the way I feel about Bane, if it's done right, Bane is going to be a fantastic character. It has to follow what we know and understand from the comic books. That's the big thing here. It has to. If it doesn't follow that, and it ends up being some piece of crap like we won't mention the name of Joel Schumacher.
So what you're saying is if he's a bodyguard for Poison Ivy, it'll be great.
That's exactly what I'm not saying. No, the fact is, if you remember the books, there was a connection between Talia and Bane.
Oh, correct.
So if they follow that guideline, I think we'll be okay. And I know they've crammed it full of stuff. I know we've got...
I'm kind of worried they almost got too much going on.
But remember how he does it.
But I mean, I got faith in him. Don't get me wrong. But I mean, this seems like there's more stuff than any of the other movies previously.
Well, remember Zaz was in there in the last movie, and he was barely in there. It was just the fact that they touch on it. Scarecrow was in there. You know, Joker was in there. Think of all the different characters that were like popping in and out of there, and they worked it out. So I'm hoping they can do it.
Well, and then you got, you know, Eckhart, you know, that's basically good friends with Christopher Nolan, for those of you who don't know. He's still begging him to bring Two-Face back.
I think one of the things that kind of bothered me about that was, I don't know that that fall would have killed Two-Face. That's the thing that kind of got to me. I was like, I know it would probably, you know, mess him up, but killing him, really? It wasn't that far of a fall, was it? It was just a few stories. I thought he could potentially survive that.
Batman did.
Well, of course, Batman's got the armor of the gods. I mean, you know what I'm saying? He's got it going on.
Okay, you got Two-Face that's jacked up on, you know, how much adrenaline and...
That's what I was thinking. Yeah. I mean, he survived an explosion of that magnitude and everything else. I'm thinking, man.
Yeah.
It could happen.
See, I'm still... The biggest thing that I'm worried about is I like the Talia. I like the Bane. It's that having that and then throwing Catwoman in. Because, I mean, I really would love to see a whole... You know, Christian Bale dealing with Talia. I think that would be great. You know, have him over there.
The League of Shadows. You know.
Yes, that would be awesome. But I'm kind of concerned when you're throwing back, you know, Catwoman in there as well, because now you're dealing with, you know, three or four different main characters, and how it's going to work out. And I'm sorry, you know, I got faith in Nolan, because who knew that Heath Ledger was going to just be over the top as the Joker. But, I mean, I do not see Miss Princess Diaries as Catwoman. You know, I've always thought, I mean, to me, Michelle Pfeiffer was awesome as Catwoman. I was a big Michelle Pfeiffer fan. I thought she did a great job at the character.
Yeah, but remember, Anne Hathaway can act. Really, really act. She's an amazing actress.
Oh, she's an actress. It's just, I don't, when I think of hot, sultry, I don't think of her.
But that's kind of why I like her, because she reminds me of the one in the animated series with the big eyes and everything.
Oh, you're going to actually go back to the Adam West.
No, I'm not going that far back. I'm going to the animated series.
But she does
Paul
have
Dini.
She does have kind of a look of the old series too.
A little bit. But I'm thinking along the lines of the Paul Dini, you know, kind of deal.
Yeah.
I just feel that that's kind of indicative of the direction they're trying to go a little bit, I think. And who knows what it ends up being. I mean, she may not even become Catwoman until the final half hour of the movie, for all
right.
we know. She could just be a side character. We're really not sure. And the way Christopher Nolan works is, man, we can't be sure.
Right.
You know, we can't be sure. I was really wanting, speaking of different actors, Ryan Gosling was up to play the Lone Ranger with Johnny Depp. And the reports are that Armie Hammer from The Social Network may be taking the role.
I read that.
He might be taking the role.
But and you know what's funny? Gosling was up for Green Lantern.
Yeah.
And got beat out by Ryan Reynolds.
Well, you know, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Jensen Ackles would have been my Green Lantern choice, and Ryan Reynolds would have been my Flash, because Ryan Reynolds has the skinny face like Flash. He looks like Flash to me. He sounds like him. He acts like him. He's got that funny chip on his shoulder. You know, he's sarcastic as hell.
That's where you and I differ, because I agree with the Flash. And he was actually talking to David Garner about doing the Flash. But since the Blackest Night came up and Green Lantern, the popularity, they decided to greenlight that before the Flash. And he basically wanted to jump on board the next train that was heading out of DC.
Right.
Which I think he should have waited and done the Flash.
I think he looks like him.
You know, but see, for me, I thought Bradley Cooper would have been a great Flash. I mean, not Flash, but Green Lantern.
I know that.
I mean, Bradley Cooper, I think he's got a good look. A lot of people was in for Nathan Fillion playing Green Lantern. You know, and you're kind of getting that. The new animated Green Lantern.
Right.
Nathan Fillion is doing the voice.
Right.
Now, when you talk about Jason Ackles, you know who I really was wanting him to play?
What's that?
Cap.
Yeah.
I thought he'd have been a blonde hair, blue eyes. He's got the attitude. I thought he would have been a perfect Cap.
Well, they had to dye his hair and stuff, though. He's not really normally blonde, I don't think.
Jason Ackles?
Jensen Ackles, yeah. He's got brown hair.
He's got blonde. I mean, he's dirty blonde.
Gotcha.
But, I mean, just the same as Chris Evans, they're dyeing his. Chris Evans isn't a blonde.
Right, that's true.
And honestly, I'd rather see the guy from Supernatural than the Human Torch as Captain America.
I'd just like to say for the record that anyone that thinks The Hangover Part 2 is a good idea is nuttier than hell. And the fact that they just announced Part 3 and they said, obviously we always envisioned it as a trilogy, Todd Phillips is a liar. They never envisioned that as anything but a quick money grab. And then they did Bridesmaids as the same damn movie, only with chicks. The fact that Hangover Part 2 exists, just the trailer alone makes me gag. Because it's the fact that they got back, I mean, I really liked the Asian character from the first movie. He was my favorite character. But the fact is, how would they fit him into a second movie that takes place? It just doesn't work.
I don't know. I'm going to have to check. I haven't watched it yet. I liked the first one.
I did too. But again, the first one, they were really pushing me because they were like, oh, you got to see this. It's the funniest movie I've ever seen. Of course, every movie that year was compared to Animal House, which none of them touched, by the way. Not one of them touched Animal House. Not even came within 50 miles of Animal House. And I'm like, okay, I will take a look at it. And listen, it was a passable time waster. But as far as hilarious comedies go, it missed the mark. All of them did. 40 Year Virgin missed the mark. That one missed the mark. Super Bad missed the mark. Even though I like them all, they are like sitcoms with tit jokes.
Oh, granted.
You know, they're not written very well anymore.
I have not seen any I mean, and you know what? I agree with you because I love The Hangover. I thought it was a great movie. But it wasn't one of those, my gut is hurting.
It's not the Blues Brothers, right?
Oh.
It's nothing like those. The comedies that we used to have, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, these comedies had heart. They had funny stuff going on. They had passion.
The original Arthur with Dudley Moore.
Oh, I love that movie.
Oh, my God. I was
Except for
dying.
Liza Minnelli gave me the creeps really bad. But
yeah, but he was hilarious.
He was fantastic.
Drunk. Oh, my God. Okay, here you go. True Animal House or 1941?
Animal House for me.
Okay.
I'm more a John Landis than a Steven Spielberg guy. John Landis is a drive-in schlock kind of guy.
Right.
And that's my heart.
Oh, I love Animal House, but God, 1941,
it was freaking hilarious. But see, at the same time, during that period, we had Caddyshack. We had Meatballs.
Oh, yeah.
Think of those movies, man.
Porky's.
Exactly.
I mean, it was more of the R-rated line, but I mean, it was funny.
R-rated movies that are out now are lame.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when was the last time you saw, I mean, sure, they cuss a lot. They have fart jokes every 3 seconds.
Oh, yeah.
But come on. These movies want to have the balls that movies like Animal House had, but they can't have the balls because it's too politically correct and no one's willing to cross that line
anymore. Granted. Oh, here's a movie. Guess what I watched this week?
What's that?
New on DVD this week, The Green Hornet.
There you go. Well, last week.
I had not seen it before. And, well, it was, yeah, you're right, last week. I had not seen it, and I did not want to pay the money to go see it. So I went ahead and Redboxed it. I figured, you know, I'll cough up a dollar. And I got to tell you, that movie sucked.
Well, there was half a good movie in there. There was half a good movie in there.
What was that, the beginning and ending credits?
Jay Chou. I loved him. I thought he was great. He held the movie together. He's the only thing
I will. Yeah, but you know what? Seth Rogen.
Dude, he shouldn't have. It was miscast.
He sucked.
So miscast.
And the whole point, to me, it wasn't even that. It was the writing. I mean, they made him so stupid of a character.
Unlikable, hateful.
You don't like the guy. You can't stand him. And the whole point of, you know, Reed. I mean, let's get real. The whole point of Brett Reed was that he's arrogant. He's a jerk. But by the end of it, his dad dies. He finds out. I mean, in this deal,
This is the Kevin Smith universe, because in the original, Green Hornet was never an a-hole, and he wasn't a drunk and a lush.
Well, even in Kevin Smith's, the whole point was he didn't like his dad because his dad was never there.
Right.
But then when he finds out his dad was killed by, you know, basically underworld mobsters, he's like, you know what? It's time for me to step up and be the man I should be. It's a classic tale, you know. You know, hey, my dad's gone. I'm going to revenge.
Revenge
his death. Yeah, great. You know, Batman's doing it, and I really like the concept that this is. You had the original Green Hornet. Kevin Smith was. This is his son.
Right.
See, this wasn't supposedly in this movie. Seth Rogen is the original Green Hornet.
Right.
They came up with the idea. So it's like, okay, you don't even have the first generation to rely on. And it just was, I mean, especially the crap where he was always hitting on Carmen Diaz, which really, did you even need to pay her to be in that movie? It could have been any character.
Yeah, for her. She was just but really, honestly, I go back to the character from the original Pulps. I go back to the character from even the television series, you know,
Batman Adam West.
Well, the thing was, the reason why Batman had respect for the Green Hornet in that series was because he was a detective, much like himself, and he was not a drunken lush. He wasn't just a loathsome character. This problem with Seth, and I really like him as an actor. Okay, as a comedic actor. This was so miscast for him, and the fact that he just played him so nasty. I mean, get in a fight with Kato that lasted for 10 minutes and calling each other names, and man, that just would not have happened.
And
that was almost as bad as the Joel Schumacher Robin.
Oh,
Batman,
well, it's like
fight.
It's like Kato is drowning in the pool, and he throws a little blow up preserver, at him. And I'm like, what the heck? This is bullcrap.
And they didn't even exploit that. I thought, okay, this is going to come back later, and we're going to see Kato's in trouble, and he's going to have to step up and save him. They never even exploited
anything.
Well,
what really got me the saddest is as much as Seth fought for this and pushed for it, and really just tried to pump the crap out of this at Comic-Con, and really, this is going to be a great movie. I expected for him to take more of a serious tone for this character and to step up his acting game and to give us a really good detective, you know. And I'm sitting here going, okay, The Shadow was not a real good movie, but at least, you know,
they took it serious.
At least Baldwin took the character serious.
Right.
You know, The Phantom. Not the greatest movie of
all
time.
I loved it.
Oh, Billy I loved Zane. It. But yeah. But it was taken serious.
I mean, he took it serious. The movie itself was like campy and pulpy, but
right.
he took the character serious.
Right. And that's what saved the movie.
Right.
You know, I watched this and and at no point do I see Seth taking this character serious. I mean, to me, I was like, you got to be kidding me. I really wanted to see him like, okay, I understood the first part of the movie that he was a jerk, but I was like waiting for that redeeming quality that he's going to be a superhero. And I mean, I was like, my God, can I get my dollar back?
Well, you know, that kind of brings
me to... Do not watch it. If you have not seen it, don't.
Unless you're just really wanting to just waste some time. I mean, there's, like I said, Jay Chou. That's all that's good. I want to go forward a minute and talk about, you know, we were mentioning what's going on with movies today.
Mm-hmm.
And there's that movie, oh, what's the one? There's a couple of them, these buddy movies, okay? Like Due Date or whatever it is. Remember that one? And there's a couple others.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got the same Zach Galifianakis, or however you say his name, right? That, you know who I'm talking about. He's in The Hangover. He's a chunky guy.
Yeah.
Okay? With the bad beard and the weird hair.
You know what? Just to – do you know where he got his start?
Hard telling.
The TV show True Calling.
Oh.
With Elijah Dishku. And so he actually got a pretty good following from that, because it was kind of a sci-fi-ish type show. I mean, she basically relived her day.
Gotcha.
All the time. And then later on, Jason Priestley, you know, from 90210, was added to the cast, and he was like the yin and yang. So it kind of turned into kind of a Quantum Leap type feel. But he actually started on that.
Well, I was just thinking about that, and I was going, I want people to really look at this. This is something, this is how you can tell, and I'm not trying to be an old codger here. The quality of filmmaking. 48 Hours from Walter Hill, Beverly Hills Cop. These were buddy comedies that worked.
Mm-hmm.
Then watch these new buddy comedies. They're basically just an extension of things like The Hangover. It's just sitcom material, folks. Just the same crap. Go back and watch Trading Places. These are comedies with ensemble casts that have kind of buddy picture thing going on, and they work.
Oh, Trading Places. Great movie.
Right, but they all have something in common. They all have great directors and great writers. John Landis, Walter Hill, people that give a damn, you know, people that care about the characters, Joe Dante. Even Spielberg did a couple things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Go back and rewatch those. Even people griped at the time, go back and watch Back to the Future. You know, watch how movies were made. You know, those the films were so much better, just quality-wise. And I just wish people would kind of step up and say, okay, we're not spending $17 at the box office for any more of this crap when we can watch it on TV just without the cuss words. You know what I mean? It's the same
granted.
Crap.
It is.
We have got about 2 minutes, so I better let you do your thing.
My thing?
Yep. Sorry, I didn't mean to rant so long.
Oh, no. Basically, we're just going to kind of thumb through, you know. We really kind of missed the boat on our new comics this week.
Yeah, we're like, wow, down to the wire.
Yeah. Basically, Uncanny X-Force is the one I recommend for this week. Really pushing to Archangel. He's got some issues with himself. And basically, from next issue, 11, they're going to be visiting the Age of Apocalypse.
Wow.
And I usually don't like when they start rehashing storylines, but I got to tell you, this is some great. Remender, who's writing this, is all over the place. You got Billy Tan doing the artwork. Great stuff.
Gotcha.
Booster Gold, another one. Dan Jurgens finally returns to the character he created. He's been doing some miniseries, came back, and it's basically running through the Flashpoint. Another great one.
Gotcha.
And Batman and Robin. If you want to know what's going on with Jason Todd,
got to pick it up.
You got to pick it up. It's some really good stuff. But, you know, that's it for this week. Once again, I want to thank everyone for tuning in. Be here next week. Same bat time. Same bat channel. And thanks again for tuning into the Brute Squad.
The Brute Squad!